This is a sermon called The Glory That We Make. The Glory We Make. And the text is the 10th verse of the 17th chapter of John. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Today is the one Sunday in what is the shortest season in all the church year. It's not really a season, actually. It's kind of a sub-season. The 10 days of Ascension Tide. The days between the Feast of the Ascension last Thursday and Pentecost, which comes next Sunday. We are at that moment in the calendar between Jesus leaving the scene on the mountaintop and the arrival of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're at that point in the story in which we are left a little bit abandoned. Sometimes it seems as though we live in a kind of long-term Ascension Tide. We live in a moment, in an historical moment, after the events around Jesus, but before the end of the story, or at least before whatever comes next. To say it a little more sharply, we live in a historical moment after the high watermark, not just of the Christian story, but of the idea of Christendom, of a world dominated in every significant way, culturally, politically, intellectually, by the ideas and institutions of the Christian faith. We live well after a time that the stores closed on Sunday, the high school games were not scheduled on Sunday, that alcohol wasn't sold on Sunday. We live well after a time that you could wish someone Merry Christmas without fear of giving offense, that the general cultural expectation was that most of your neighbors, and so of course you too, would have a church affiliation somewhere. As though to emphasize all of that, this week brought the news of the headline of the most recent survey of the Pew Research Center about religious affiliation in America. The story hasn't changed, it has just continued. The number of people identifying themselves as Christians has dropped by about 10%, from around 80% to around 70% of all Americans. While the number of those identifying themselves as unaffiliated or uninterested or despising rose to 22%. We cannot help but think about this, or at least be affected by it, consciously or unconsciously. We are social creatures. It is deeply inscribed in us to want to be safe, and there is safety in numbers. If large numbers of people are tending in one direction, we will tend to want to go with them. If we are part of something that others around us seem to be leaving behind, we will wonder about the wisdom and the depth of our own commitment. Into that situation comes the proclamation of the collect of the day for today, this peculiar Sunday between Ascension and Pentecost, this moment between the cloud on the mountaintop and the tongues of fire in the open room. Here are those words: O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. They are words of victory, of triumph. We say them, but we cannot quite grasp them. We are not so sure that we feel triumphant. We are not sure what it means to believe in a God who is fashioned the King of glory. All the things that we observe being glorified are the things of this world: celebrity and power and enormous wealth. We see people flocking to that kind of glory. Glory in the terms of this world. A God who is glorious in heaven is interesting, but we're not always sure exactly how relevant to our worries, our needs, our sense of value. It turns out there is more to God's glory than the billowy clouds or the angelic praises of heaven. There is something to it that is real and concrete, as real as us. The little section of the Gospel of John we heard this morning is known as the farewell discourse in John's Gospel. It actually happens before the events of Good Friday and Easter, not after. But in a very real way, the words of this moment have Jesus handing over the work of the church to his disciples, and so to us. And what he has to say about our work is pretty amazing. It is not that we are given some kind of glory because we are followers of Jesus. And it's not like the way that we follow other sources of glory in the world, looking for a little bit of light to be shed on us. What Jesus says is pretty much the other way around. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. We sort of want to gain something by being part of any group. We want to gain reputation or popularity or skill or something before we agree to join any group. But the church is not just any group. And the way that it works is not the way any other group works. We're not here to do something because of what it will make other people think about us, whether it's something good or something bad. We're here to worship God, to follow the example of Jesus, and to serve others. And Jesus says that what we do when we do those things glorifies him, not the other way around. We're not here for our own glory. We are here because God, in some way, is glorified by us. Now, it may be the case that God is not in great need of whatever glory we have to offer. But it does put a different light on things when we feel tired or exhausted or enervated. Because when we show kindness to each other, God is glorified. When, because of the community of support and challenge that we have in each other, we manage to reach out in love and care to people well beyond this walls and this place, God is glorified. When we remember what we have learned here in ways that help us to overcome our own temptations to cynicism or despair, God is glorified. And when we open our eyes to see evidence of God's grace in the lives of others and give thanks when we see it, God is glorified. The masons that built those ancient cathedrals carved the most intricate designs on the stones that capped off the pinnacles of the spires of those cathedrals, knowing that they would ultimately be hundreds of feet above the sight of anyone who could possibly see them. But they did it anyway. Not because they would be seen, but because doing it was an act of worship. That's a little bit like our circumstances. We are called to worship God, not to be with the in crowd, not to be with any crowd, but because that is the purpose God planted in us at our baptism. We do it not to be seen by others, but to be heard by God. We do it not just here for an hour on Sunday mornings, but by each choice, each act, each word, each thought of each day. God can be glorified in all of those. That is our great purpose and our great privilege. Amen.